could you speak? And there's a Sunday called Stories of God at Work. And I thought, yeah, I can do that. And then a couple days later, I thought, what have I done? I've led worship in the church, and there's something about being behind the guitar, something that's comfortable. And I was quite nervous, and then I thought, what am I nervous about? You know, this is our family. We're family here. This is the church. We're God's people, and we should feel comfortable to share. So I thought what I'd do is maybe just start off with just a prayer, and I invite you to bow your heads with me. And then, I don't have too long. I was joking with Michelle. I said I timed it this morning, and it was 2 minutes and 22 seconds. And she said, Gavin, what? You got to talk longer than that. So I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we know you're here this morning, and I just ask for the words to speak to your people. Lord, it's so cool to see how you line things up, and just with Chris asking me to speak and just seeing the slides of just this common theme of service and not even knowing that, but just writing out my story, our family story, and it being about service and what that means. Lord, like Pastor Bob prays, I pray that you take away my words. That you'd speak through me. And that people would have ears to hear and they'd be attentive, Lord. We're here for one reason, and that's because of you. What you've done for us and how much you love us, Lord. We're here to meet with you, and we ask that you'd be present this morning, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. I'm sorry, sometimes I get tears start flowing, so I wish there was a spray I could just spray in my eyes, and it would dry them up. So anyways, I wanted to start, and I introduced my family. We've been here about, I guess, 7-8 years, and we even introduced a new dog to the family, so we have the four kids, and we have a small dog named Red. Now you might have seen it on Michelle's Facebook. So we have a busy life, and things are going on. So Chris asked me, he said, Kevin, can you speak? And I said, yeah, I will. And I guess to start, it wasn't out of obligation. I didn't feel, oh, I have to speak. I wanted to speak. Out of love. And so I was writing here as I spent time. So I've been working out of Calgary the last couple of weeks, and I was sitting there reading scripture, and I had my notes ready, and I don't even know if I told this to Michelle, but I'd be sitting on the hotel bed and making notes, and I love Blue Jays. You saw Jack with his Blue Jays hat on there, and the game was on, and I thought, I got to turn that off. I need to really prepare for this. And I was writing notes and writing different things, and reading all these scripture, and I just kept feeling overwhelmed. And I just, instead of actually preparing, I just kept finding myself on my knees and just, I guess, just literally weeping and thinking how good God's been. And I just made some notes here, you know, like how faithful his goodness, his mercy, his grace. And I could go on and on. So instead of writing what I was going to say, I just kept on finding myself in prayer and thanking God for all these things that he's done in our family and how faithful he's been to us. And then I was writing this again, and even last night as I was writing this and finishing it off, I was in our room, and I shut the door just to be away from everybody, and I started reading again and just reading all these scriptures and thinking, reflecting. And just crying. I just couldn't control myself. I just thought, God has been so faithful to us. And so then all of a sudden I heard Michelle coming, and so I was like wiping the tears away and trying to put on a strong face, right? Trying to look like I was deep in thought. And And she walked in and jumped on the bed and looked at me, and I thought, okay, I need to get this done. But what a gift. You know, like Chris, he said, can you speak? And I said, yes. But I didn't realize what that was going to mean. That it wasn't about me speaking to you. It was really a gift to reflect how good God has been. And so I was talking about, you know, just being so thankful how good God was. And when I say good, I don't mean blessings. I don't mean, you know, financially, he's done all these great things. But just simply that we felt his mercy, grace, and love so deeply in our life, and it continues to grow. And I'm so thankful for a Heavenly Father who loves us so deeply. And so for all this, these last 8 years in the church, and just being able to look back and see how God's worked in our lives and use so many of you in our lives, it's been amazing. And even yesterday, I texted my dad, and I was sharing some different things with him, good news about the move. And I got all these papers here, but I just, he texted me 1 Timothy 1:17, and I just want to jump to it here. And I didn't know off by heart what it was. I shared some good news about different things that were going on, and he sent this to me. So 1 Timothy 1:17, and it goes like this. Pretty simple. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And I just thought, how perfect. You know, all praise be to God for all the things in our life, all the honor and glory to him. Sorry, Michelle, I'm making you cry. I got a handle on myself here. So I wanted to share that verse. It was so fitting. We can trust him. And I was just thinking about this, and I was just making notes. So reflecting back and looking at all what he's done in our lives and knowing this God that we can trust. And not just trust him. He's coming back one day. And I've said this a lot during worship, but one day he will come back and every knee will bow. Every knee. Whether you believe or not, you will bow. And that's the God that we can trust. So, I'll just put my sheet down here. Oh, someone's coming up. So, I guess to get back to our story, we attended church, and, you know, Michelle and I have been Christians for a lot of years. And we attended church before we came to Cold Lake, and I was just looking back on what made our time in Cold Lake different. You know, like we lived in White Court for, what, 5 years? And then we lived in Sherwood Park 1 year. And I thought, what is different? You know, Grand Center Alliance Church. What made this place different and different in our lives and what God has done in our lives? And I just put here, God has truly drawn us to him, and we feel we have grown in our relationship with Jesus during our time here. I have never been so in love with Jesus. Now I want more of him. And so I look back now and see that the real difference has been the church. Not this building, but you. The people sitting here today and those that have come and gone. That is God's church. So God's design is for Christians to do life together, to serve each other in love, and to build each other up. And so I just want to read a couple more verses in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16. So it says here, it was he who gave some to the apostles, some to the prophets, some to the evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so thinking back, what was the difference? It was the church, it was God's people, and serving in love and building each other up and learning from others. And I just said, through serving, God has continuously revealed himself and drawn us to him. God's given us a love, and I speak for me and Michelle, given us a love for you that I can't explain, and a love for Jesus. And so I thought about that. I thought, you know, we came here, what was the difference? We attended church in the past. We sat in the pew. We sang the songs. We did some other things too, but what a difference it was here. But it was just stepping out and letting God use us. That was really it. And that's his design, is to build each other up, to serve and love one another. And that's when he's going to grab a hold of you and work in your life. And so I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, sometimes church can feel like you think of a schedule almost. So when people think of church, you can very easily equate it to this building, an agenda, like a bulletin, arrive at 10:30, have some quick friendly conversations, maybe a cup of coffee, sing some songs, announcements, we have a mission update, listen to a sermon, sing some more songs, a couple friendly quick conversations before heading out the door for lunch, and almost forgetting what we sang, what we heard, and getting back to our lives. And that can get into that trap so easily, and that's not what church is. Church is the people here living, stealing from you, Bob, authentic lives together. And during that, all those things have a different meaning. Suddenly you're singing a song and you're singing to God the Almighty. Suddenly that conversation in the foyer isn't just a quick, friendly conversation. It's a heartfelt conversation out of love for that person. You know, the missions update, it's not just a missions update. Suddenly it's people need Jesus, and your heart longs for that. We are the church, and we are his people. So there's something so special about getting together. For me, it started when you know, a lot of you guys remember Tom Fair. So he was here, and he was a worship pastor. And it kind of all started there. So we started coming to church. Tom, I don't know if Chris knows my cousin, we're like semi-related somehow. But he had heard that I play guitar, and Tom asked me, can you play guitar? And I thought, yeah, I can play guitar. I'd played in the past in church, just kind of in the background, and younger when I was in youth group. And that was really the start of serving in the church here. And so I started playing, and I made a little note here. So Tom, I used to be back here. I don't even know if you guys remember, it was a while ago. And Tom would, you didn't see it, but Tom would set a mic in front of me, and I would stand back 4 feet. And he would say, do you want to sing? I said, no. And then he would put the mic, and he would do that. But the way he did it was so gentle. He would just kind of set it there and then just walk off. And I, even last couple Sundays ago when he was here, I said, Tom, how did you do that? I said, it was like I was up here and then someone pulled the hood off my head and I was leading. And to even look back at that, I sang one time in the past at a different church in White Court. And one of the people in the worship team, because I always just played in the background, said, Kevin, would you do a song for offertory or something? And I said, sure, I can. And so I did, and it just went wrong fast, and I couldn't hit the notes, and I just thought, never again am I ever going to sing in church. But most of the time it was just on the technical stuff, you know, like I'm playing back then, and I liked playing the different chords. I didn't think I didn't put it into perspective of what worship is. And so I started leading worship here and serving, and that's when God started working. So I felt, it was just basically one Sunday, and I felt God showing me how special this was. Of course, you know, we say we're singing to God, but in the past it was more about singing songs that I liked. I like this song, or I like that song, I like how it goes, almost forgetting who I was singing to. And I looked out into the congregation, all of you, and it hit me. And I, you know, it's a God thing, just opening my eyes. And I pictured the verses in Revelation 4, and I know I've shared this before, just where it gives us a glimpse of the amazing God we're worshiping. So it says in Revelation 4, 6 to 11, "Also before the throne there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third has a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being.'" So I was sitting here leading, and I just, you know, I thought, okay, I'm leading now. Tom's got me going. And God just kind of revealed this to me. You're not just singing here at the PowerPoint. You're worshiping me. And can you imagine the difference it is as if the roof came off? And even this morning, right now, that's happening. So there's people all over the world worshiping God, the same God we believe in. And in heaven, there's millions of angels worshiping him 24/7. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And that changed everything for me. So here we are as God's people singing as one body, songs of praise to this being by his words created the world, created us, that every breath, the simplest thing, is a gift from him. So at the start, when I very first started serving in that role, I was scared. I was nervous. I didn't actually want to do it, I'll be honest. I thought, I got to get the songs right. I got to do this. But just God showing me these things in his word, it was so powerful. And then just to share in Ephesians here, back to Ephesians, chapter 2, 1 to 10. And so what changed my heart for wanting to serve, of course I was blown away and just thinking, man, this is amazing. We're worshiping God. He is here. He's everywhere. What a privilege. What an amazing thing. And then Ephesians, this whole section on Ephesians, so chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. I'll read it first, then I'll explain it. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work for those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." So before I came to know Jesus, I was an object of his wrath. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." That just blows me away. "In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I looked at that and I thought, God saved me? He chose me? What else can I do but worship him and give him praise? And now he's prepared works for me in advance to do. Here I am getting to lead worship to you all and be part of that. And it just blows me away. All I can do is worship. He saved me. That gift is available for everyone. So I just said here, I felt a feeling of love for him I had never felt before. A love for you that I didn't have before. I wanted to praise him. I looked out and saw his people that were now coming to this building because God had done the same for them. Or those that are looking for the answer. It wasn't just about singing songs anymore as part of the agenda. So I guess in behind the scenes, so I'm up here leading and serving, but as I would prepare for Sunday and pick songs, I would dig into the Bible and discover where the lyrics were based from, spend time in prayer as I practice and get to worship my Father in heaven. After service, some of you would come to me and say, "Hey, thanks for leading. I enjoyed worship." And what I wanted to say was, and I never did, was, "But how good it is for me, a privilege to lead the songs. How God was working in my life, teaching me about his character through the songs. How he had revealed his love, and how many times during practicing at home I had just stopped in the middle of singing and playing to spend time in prayer, or just couldn't sing due to being so full of awe and thankfulness. I can look back now and see how serving on the worship team allowed God to move and work in my life." So Alex is leading today, and I was just thinking about this, just kind of what I said there. Thank you for allowing me to lead you. And as we continue to worship today, just take a breath and pause and think of who we are worshiping. He is here and we're not alone. Just about those verses I read. Just 24/7. It always blows my mind. And I even think about, being up here and looking out and seeing everybody worshiping and thinking, they're worshiping the God that I believe in, seeing people raise their hands or crying, or it's just an amazing thing to be part of that, worshiping God. So that's a little bit about how God's worked in my life through serving and changed me through the worship. Another way is more to do with Michelle and I, and that's our small groups. And so Michelle and I talked and wanted to serve more, and we ended up leading a number of small groups. And I can tell you that it's kind of scary when you lead a small group, because you think, I have to know, I don't know why, but you think, I need to know every scripture. What if somebody asks me this and I don't know the right answer? And what I've learned is you just need to love the people. You need to love Jesus and obviously have time and study the Word and know the Word. But you don't have to be an expert. It's about loving people and Jesus gives you that love. So the families we've gotten to do life with over the years have been a real blessing. And our prayer has always been, before we meet at our place, is that God would give us love for the families. That our home would be a place where people feel comfortable to be real. And that God would draw us to him. There are so many stories I could share, but the main point is that through serving, God has brought so many people into our lives, and those people have spoken to our lives. And if we didn't serve, I think back at the churches we attended before, still God's people. But we were intentional this time, and we said, God, use us. And he changed our lives for it. I think of Hebrews 10, 24, 25, when I think of, I guess, even being here today, but small groups. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. As we have met and opened our home, God has continued to reveal himself and grow in us. I was reading through so many Bible verses, like I said, over the last while. And it's kind of fitting because we were learning about the Ten Commandments. But there were so many that came to mind. And then God just kept pointing me back to Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And I think about serving with worshiping. I think about serving with small groups. You want to serve and be part of this body. You can't help it when you love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. Everything boils down to that. There are so many ways to serve. And I can honestly say that it's not always easy, but God uses this service to draw you to him, to change you. And so many of you know, maybe you don't know, where Michelle and I are moving, so we're getting relocated. And we're sad to go to leave our family here. But we've made a decision as a family that we're not going to attend anymore. That we're going to serve in the church and serve God's people. God has so much more for you. It's his design for us to serve each other and grow in our relationship with him. The last thing I wanted to share is just about a sermon that Chris preached a few years back on leaving a legacy. And Chris, you kind of sent something out in your pastor's report, and it was talking just about how fast time goes. And something I've been thinking about a lot. And a couple years ago, I was researching my family history, and so I was looking at all these black and white photos, and they came to life when I actually started learning about their stories and who they were. Life is so short, they're dead and gone. But I got to learn about their lives. And I thought one day our family is going to be in a photo. Maybe it'll be a hologram, I don't know, by the time. But we'll just be a photo and we'll be gone. You know, even the young people that are in here, you think life is long, it's short. It can be gone in an instant. Even if you live your whole life to be 95, it's short. I asked my grandma when I was doing this research, and I said, you know, when she was a young woman before marrying my grandpa, if she thought she would be a great grandma with 38 great grandchildren, and she talked to me like it was yesterday, meeting and marrying my grandpa. Now she's, I think, 92. Her life's almost over, and she'll be a photo, a memory. So I want the short time we have here to live for the Lord. Love him with all my heart. Love my neighbor, obey God's commands, serve others, teach my children about Jesus, live my life as an example for them. Just before we found out that we'd be moving, I would often tell people, like I knew, and I would say, they would say, oh, we love Cold Lake. We're going to live here 10 more years, I'd tell people. Yeah, you know, I had it all figured out. Michelle and I were talking. The kids would finish high school, and then we'd be gone. We'd move on. And then all of a sudden I got told that my job is changing. And that gave me a great opportunity to share with our family and sit down and have a Bible time and just go through James chapter 4, 13 to 17. It says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this, that, or that city. Spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Our life is a mist. The two lessons I learned is that life is short and God is in control. And the other, God gives us an opportunity to do good. When God gives us an opportunity to do good, whatever that may be, and we choose not to, it's a sin. The one prayer I always have been scared to pray is for God to show me what he wants me to do. That might be service in the church, in the community. Maybe he says, Kevin, I want you to be a missionary. Who knows? That's a scary prayer because I really believe that God will show you. His plans are not just for us to attend church, a building with an agenda, but to be the church. To stir each other up in love for him. To love each other and serve each other and others and to tell others of his love. So I want to encourage you this morning to spend some time in prayer of how God may want to use you in the church. Ask him sincerely how you can serve and listen carefully because he will speak to your heart. He wants to do much more for you in your lives. You just need to be willing. God will be there to lead, guide, and empower you. I invite you to just to spend a bit of time in prayer, and we're just going to be about 20, 25, 30 seconds silent to give you an opportunity to pray and ask God of where you can serve, and then I'll close in prayer. Thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us this church family. Thank you for working in our lives, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to people's hearts, that they'd be open to what you have to tell them, Lord, to raise up leaders in this church, not out of obligation, Lord, but out of love, that they would serve. We praise you for who you are, Lord. You saved us. What else can we do but worship and praise you? Help us not to forget how amazing that is and how amazing you are. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Kevin. They're going to be around for a little bit. You're not gone till
October
11, something, 11-12. So, and you'll get your lantern then, and we'll pray for you. But you have a chance to have them over or bless them or give them free advice about raising puppies or whatever you'd like to do. So do you need to stretch? Are you good? Everybody give it a stretch. We need to celebrate God at work. We're celebrating Kevin's testimony that God works, and we're having a baptism this morning. The Bible says that when you come to faith, when you understand that God loved you, sent his son to die on a cross in your place, that the punishment for sin that you deserve has been taken by Christ, you ask that to be applied to your account, you start this relationship with a living and loving God. Note, you're not all cleaned up. Note, you don't have everything figured out, but you know this, that God loved you and sent his son to die in your place, and that's for you. It says that you're to repent and be baptized so that you're to understand that and then be obedient right away, saying, God, you're going to be Lord of my life. I'm doing this your way. And I'm identifying that you died in my place. You go under the water. You're raised to new life in Christ, meaning my sin is forgiven and God sees me through the filter of Christ. This morning, we get to celebrate that, and that means you guys have to cheer. Now, right now, I'm going to practice this. You're going to cheer for two things. You're going to cheer as practice and for Chris and his legs. So come on, Chris, to the front. Yeah, let's cheer. Yeah. Are they scared of the sunshine? Or?
Yeah. They're nice and tan. Chris,
yeah. Thanks, Sean. That started with Sean this summer. I don't know what's going on. Well, I have the privilege of, we're going to do a little interview, first of all, baptizing Jeremy. So, Jeremy, you want to come up here? I'm really excited. Jeremy's been wanting to get baptized for a little while, and today's the day. He's been, we've been talking about, or at least been talking about with his mom for a while. Now, Jeremy's a little nervous. It's okay, right? Yeah, he's a little nervous. And so we're going to do this interview style, and I told Jeremy he doesn't have to talk very much. So, Jeremy, I'm just going to ask you a couple questions, okay? All right, the first question is, we've talked a bit, I know you love Jesus, so the question is, how come and why do you want to follow him?
Because he's my Savior.
There we go. Short. Awesome. And the last question I want to ask you is, why are you getting baptized today?
Because I just feel like he's just telling me over and over again to get baptized.
There you go. Short, sweet, to the point, right? All right, so with our conversation and talking to your mom, God really did. He was just like, you were in your car, right? You guys are traveling, yeah. And God was like, I want you to get baptized. I'm like, okay. Or maybe I got two stories mixed up. All right, sorry. I just realized there's another story, right, about soccer and youth. But anyway, I'm going to invite your family to come up. Your mom's got some words for you, I think. Rob's like, I'm good. Here you go, Jen.
Okay, ever since Jeremy's been really young, he's been very wise and, he'll just say things sometimes like that blow me away about God, that like I'll be talking about something and he'll say something and I'll be like, oh yeah, I didn't realize that until you just said that, even when he was really little. And so I think that he definitely, God speaks to him, and just from things he's told me and the way things have gone in his life, that he has a gift that way. And I just have two verses for you. The one is Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So no matter what you do or where you go, God is with you, and nothing can separate that. And that's so important to remember. And then the other one is that because God does speak to you lots, and you have a gift of wisdom, I think, that's my guess. But Matthew 5, verse 14-16 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So if you keep shining your light, you're going to do great.
All right, Jeremy, I'm just going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this young man, and I thank you for this incredible love he has for you, even at this age, Lord, just kind of oozes out of every pore in his body and in his soul. And it's just really cool to see this young man and how much he wants to follow you. His ear is open to you. So, Lord, I just pray you'd bless him, that your Holy Spirit would just fill him And Lord, that you would fill him with power and that your light would shine in his heart incredibly bright, that you would give him courage to walk the path of faith and to have your name on his lips and no other. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.